person is Moses. And so terrible was the sight. Then Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. New American Standard Bible. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I am terrified and trembling. The second evidence which the author here gives of the dreadful promulgation of the law and consequently of the miserable estate of them that are under its power is in what befell Moses on this occasion. We may consider the person in whom he gives the example, the cause of the consternation ascribed to him, and how he expressed it. The person speaking is Moses. The effect of this terror extended itself to the meanest of beasts and unto the best of men. Moses was a person holy and abounding in grace above all others of his time, the meekest man on the earth. He was accustomed to divine revelations and had once before beheld a representation of the divine presence in Exodus 3. He was the intercessor, the messenger, the mediator between God and the people at that time. Yet could none of these privileges exempt him from an amazing sense of the terror of the Lord in giving the law. And if, with all these advantages, he could not bear it, much less can any other man so do. The mediator himself of the old covenant was not able to sustain the dread and terror of the law. How desperate then are their hopes who would yet be saved by Moses? The cause of his consternation was the sight. It was so terrible, that which appeared and was represented to him. And this takes in not only what was the object of the sight of his eyes, but that of his ears also, and voices, and thundering, and the sound of the trumpet. The whole of it was terrible, or dreadful. It was so dreadful to such an incomprehensible degree. Number three is expression of the consternation that befell him on this, in these words. I exceedingly fear and tremble. He said so. We are assured of it by the Holy Ghost. But the words themselves are not recorded in the story. They were undoubtedly spoken then and there, whereupon this dreadful representation of God, it is said that he spake, but not one word is added of what he spoke, Exodus 19, verse 19. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long, and it became louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice, yet nothing is added either of what Moses spoke, or of what God answered. Then no doubt did he speak these words, for it was immediately upon his sight of the dreadful appearance, to which season the apostle assigns them. The expositors of the Roman Church raise hence a great plea for unwritten traditions, than which nothing can be more weak and vain. For how do they know that the apostle had the knowledge hereof by tradition? Certain it is that in the traditions that yet remain among the Jews there is no mention of any such thing. All other things he had by immediate inspiration, as Moses wrote the story of things past. Had not these words been now recorded by the apostle, what had become of the tradition concerning them? Would any man living have believed it? Let them give us a tradition of anything spoken by Moses or the prophets or by Christ himself, which is not recorded with any probability of truth, and somewhat will be allowed to their traditions. Therefore, the occasional divine record of such passages, ascertaining their verity, without which they would have been utterly lost, is sufficient to discover the vanity of their pretended traditions. Moses spake these words in his own person, and not, as some have judged, in the person of the people. He was really so affected as he expressed it, and it was the will of God that so he should be. He would have him also to be sensible of his terror in the giving of the law. It is said that God answered him with a voice, but what he said to him is not recorded. No doubt God but spake that which gave him relief, which delivered him out of his distress, and reduced him to a frame fit for the ministration committed to him, which in his surprise and consternation he was not fitted yet. And therefore immediately afterwards, when the people fell into their great horror and distress, he was able to relieve and comfort them, no doubt with that kind of relief which he himself had received from God. Observation. All persons concerned were brought to an utter loss and distress by the renovation and giving of the law, from whence no relief is to be obtained but by him alone who is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes.